from Luke 23, 44 through 49. Luke 23, 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtains of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Thanks, Christopher. If y'all want to scoot up, you can. There's plenty of good seats. Because if you could scoot up, then I can tell whether you have your eyes opened. For some reason, this contact that's supposed to see a long ways isn't seeing a long ways, which makes me think maybe I have it in backwards. So if I preach wrong, that's my excuse. Luke chapter 23 talks about the same thing that the other Gospels talk about, the events that happened when Jesus died. The sun stopped shining. Darkness being over the land. Of course, we have looked at the fact that not only did that happen, but when Jesus died, the tombs of righteous people broke open. And then after the resurrection, they came out and went and witnessed to people. Strange events. But in the midst of all the seven statements that Jesus makes on the cross, this one is the most human. This one we see coming from the humanity of Christ. He was known as the Son of Man, and he embraced that more than he ever embraced being called the Son of God. He would rather have been called the Son of Man. I want to just look at this in two ways. We understand that there is a day that has been predestined for us when it will be our time, that we will leave what we know as life on this earth. We'll leave it far behind. It seems like this weekend, with all the rain and the ice, that people would be careful and would slow down, but even this afternoon, I guess at 45th and Rock Road, there was an accident and someone lost their life this afternoon. Hopefully we're ready for the time. Hopefully it's not when we're young. Hopefully it's when we've had plenty of opportunity to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But also, what I would like to see before I pass is the church get back into its position of being very, very strong and united. All the churches of Christ, not divided the way it is now. That is my prayer, and that is one of the things I would love to see. But first of all, when Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," this is the way of all men. That's what the scriptures teach. In Hebrews chapter 9, in the midst of that conversation about the law changing and now we have a new covenant because we have a new guarantee and a new testator of the covenant, Jesus Christ, it says in verse 27, "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment." That's the way of all people. It will always be that way, unless the Lord comes back before we pass from this life. I know there are a lot of people who are saying, well, as terrible as life is right now, as ungodly as our culture is, and the ungodliness of other religious groups in our world and what we see going on, God's probably not very far away from sending his son back. We really don't know that. We don't know how long it'll be, and so we tarry until that day. We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But you understand there are consequences to that. When a person embraces sin and dies with it, there are consequences because the wages of sin is death. Jesus accepted that. He knew that's what would happen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we heard this scripture during the time of Dalton Key's gospel meeting when he was with us. That seems like a lifetime ago already. It just was a few weeks ago. What a blessing it was. And by the way, if you missed any of those lessons, they are available on CD. They're worth listening to. But starting at chapter 12, verse 1, if you have your electronic devices or your Bibles with you. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground from which it came, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. You see, Ecclesiastes, the writer, is telling us that this is the lot of all men. There will come a day, if we live long enough, where we are looking forward to getting out of here. The older I get, the more I understand that, because of the way life affects our children and grandchildren and how difficult it seems that it's going to be for them. And I'm thinking, all right, God, come and get my whole family and me and let's go home. Let's get away from all this before the world can influence my children and grandchildren and take them away. Because we don't want that to happen, do we? But the reality is this. The Spirit returns to God who gave it. That's just the way it is for me and you too. That's the way it will be. But secondly, you see, there is purpose in Christ's statement. In fact, there are several purposes. And the statement that Jesus is giving here, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, it is a statement of trust. God, I'm trusting you that you're going to come through with everything that you said that you would come through with. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, you know, Jesus talked about being the good shepherd. And he talked about the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. But he also mentions that this isn't the end. When the shepherd dies, it is not the end. It is a beginning. And so Jesus said in verse 14 and following, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. You see, as Jesus said here in the 10th chapter of John, Jesus did not have his life taken from him. I know that you've heard that many, many times. And yet in the portrayals of the death of Christ, when a movie is made, you see Jesus, or you hear people talk about the events of the cross, and people think, even the song, one of the songs that we sing, you know, "Follow Me." You know, "I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care, and the burden of my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me." There's a part of that song that says, "The cross became so heavy, he fell beneath the load." I wish we could reword that. Those words are not true. Nowhere within the Bible do we find Jesus falling under the weight of the cross. I love the song, mind you. But he didn't fall beneath the load. Not that we know of, other than coming from traditions of religious groups. Now, he might have fallen, but it's not recorded. And if he did, that's why there was one to carry his cross for him. But again, we don't know, but this is the point. Jesus bore the weight of human death for all of us. You see, that's the purpose. And Jesus said, "Nobody takes it from me, I lay it down." And when Jesus said, "Father, into your hand I commit my spirit," he breathed his last. That was the last statement that he made from the cross, which means it was time for him to surrender. It was time for him to yield. It was time for him to give up, knowing that he had fulfilled every aspect of God's plan of salvation. And that's another thing that he said just before he died: "It is finished." And we are so thankful for that, because God has opened up a realm of life that we will never understand until we get to heaven to see it. And I don't know how we could ever understand it, because we are so finite in our understanding here on this earth. But you know what else Jesus was saying? "I accept the consequences of bearing the sins for Barbara and Geneva and Joyce and Tom and Judy and Bonnie and that Bonnie." I meant that by Bonnie by being my Bonnie. Bonnie, the other first Bonnie. But you put your name there, and there's the reason why. Put a face in it. Put a life to it. And you understand this was God's plan for everyone. But in doing that, there is a relief for us, and there is the intent for us to find comfort. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians to chapter 4. We know that that Paul talks about the resurrection and how there are some wonderful things that are going to happen, because we're going to get away from the body and we're going to be at home with the Lord. We look forward to that day. That will be a good day, because it'll be a forever day. There won't be a night. There won't be an end to that day. But we look at verses 13, 14, and 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." God knows that we need to have comfort and encouragement. And there is another thing If Jesus said, Father, into your hand I commit my spirit, there is the reality of a resurrection, because that isn't the end. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes it very clear that the resurrection is a reality. If it isn't a reality, we are going to be found false witnesses about Jesus Christ, and we'll have no hope. If we don't believe in the resurrection, we shouldn't be here. It's not, why are you here? We shouldn't be here. But if there is a resurrection and we do believe in it, we must be here. We must be a part of each other to help encourage each other and realize that we can only get to heaven when we get to heaven together in the Lord's church. And there is a reason. When I'm baptized into Christ and when you were baptized into Christ, there is a reason that God adds us to His church, which is the body. Now, in Hebrews, the second chapter, we find that the humanity of Jesus results in the glorification of that humanity. The humanity of Jesus results in the glorification of humanity, talking about you and me too. So here we are at verse 14 in Hebrews, the second chapter. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Our faith is not always as it ought to be. And I know that because actions speak louder than words. Sometimes we make bad choices, and in doing so, we may give the impression that maybe we don't believe in God as much as we should. And yet, because of the death of Christ, there's always a second chance. Until that silver cord, as the Ecclesiastes writer said in verse 7, until the silver cord is broken, we have a chance. We have the opportunity. We have the assurance of salvation if we really do trust in our Lord. Jesus is saying, I've fulfilled your will, God. I have accepted the punishment of death. I trust you to resurrect me. And Jesus then is saying to us, as the Hebrew writer is saying, after the resurrection, God is telling us this one thing. I will help you. You see, we're all in the same boat. It's all of our destinies that we will say one day, whether we say it or not, it's going to happen. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So what's the point of this for us? Well, the Ecclesiastes writer is saying to us, encouraging us to get a good handle and a good relationship with God when you're young, because you're going to need that when you get old. If you get there, that's what he is saying. So that you'll have a firm foundation when things don't work out. You see, it's always easy for us to be faithful when they do work out. But what's going to happen if a tragedy comes and a loved one we love so desperately that we would give our own lives is taken from us? How are we going to handle that? I know in talking with Becky, because of the recent circumstances of her brother's murder, did she say 29 years ago? I believe it was 29. Maybe it was a little longer than that. But in dealing with the murderer, who was released the last time that she went before, and his family said to her, "If you were a Christian, you would forgive my brother." And I said that she should tell them, "I have forgiven your brother. He's not a debtor to me. He's a debtor to the law he broke. Isn't he?" And so he got 2 life sentences plus. And after 29 years, he was let out. I don't know if it was a year or two ago. But knowing that he's the bright, intelligent, and sinless man that he is, I'm saying this sarcastically, after threatening and abusing his girlfriend, he was rearrested and reincarcerated. And then now, a year or so later, they're going to parole him again? Are you kidding me? But you know, God doesn't deal in parole. He deals in parousia. You're saying, what in the world is parousia? Resurrection to eternal life. He deals in forgiveness. And a person can be forgiven, but yet, if we have broken the law, we're still a debtor to the law. That's the same thing that happened with Jeffrey Dahmer and anybody else that wants to become a Christian who's incarcerated. Oh yes, they can be forgiven, but they have to bear the responsibility of breaking the law. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He bore the responsibility of breaking the law so that he could say to us, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The cross of Jesus Christ has made a difference for all of us. And there are people out there that don't understand that. God help us to help them find the meaning of the cross. And not just this time of year, but every day. As we close our thoughts on the statements from the cross examination, may we never quit reading the Gospels. Because therein we find the reason for the hope that we have, but we also find our imitation, what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to deal with other people, and how we're supposed to forgive just as Jesus Christ forgave us, as we're commanded in Colossians 3 to forgive as Christ forgave us. We're glad you're here tonight. Glad Bob got back, even though it was a 7-hour drive from Lincoln. And we're glad you're here. If there's anyone here tonight that we can help in any way, we want to, we say it and we mean it. We want you to go to heaven. If there's something standing in your way, we want to help get it out of your way. And if that means that somebody here has not been baptized for the remission of sins, immersed into Christ to have their sins washed away, we want to help you do just that. We're going to stand and sing this song, and we're going to keep following that one that said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Because that's a statement of beginning. And here we are. We're trying to finish the race and keep the faith. If we can help you, come while we stand and sing.